Cellular IoT for the 5G era? You betcha. RedCap is the focus of this episode of All Things 5G. Hello, my name is Dylan McGrath, and this is All Things 5G, the podcast that examines the business, technology, and policy issues surrounding 5G. I am joined by my Keysight Technologies colleague and co-host, Jesse Cavazos.
Hello, everyone. Please be sure to visit the All Things 5G website at keysight.com/find/allthings5G. There, you can browse previous episodes and access additional resources about the topics we cover in the podcast. You can also register to receive alerts about new episodes and get the chance to score some cool All Things 5G swag. And don't forget, you can subscribe to All Things 5G on whatever platform you use to get your podcasts.
All right, so this episode is about RedCap, a new flavor, if you will, of 5G enabled by some of the enhancements contained in 3GPP's Release 17. RedCap, of course, is short for reduced capacity, which is nice because RedCap sounds a lot cooler than reduced capacity. But the gist of RedCap is that it provides a mechanism for IoT devices like wireless sensors and wearables to connect to 5G networks without imposing all the requirements imposed on full-feature devices like smartphones.
This type of device has significantly lower capabilities compared to conventional 5G user equipment. They don't need to transmit as much data, and they typically don't need the ultra-low latency that we know 5G can provide. But obviously, these IoT devices have much more stringent requirements for power consumption and cost. So RedCap devices have modifications such as fewer antennas, they use less bandwidth, different transmission modes, and the Release 17 enhancement enables smaller data transmissions, relax monitoring requirements, extend the time between network connections. All of these things are designed to reduce cost and power consumption.
RedCap is also sometimes called 5G Lite, which to me is a really easy way to think about it. And if you've ever heard about some of the predictions for the future of IoT, where there are basically sensors everywhere, asleep most of the time, but they check in and transmit small amounts of data when necessary, such as, for example, sensors monitoring railroad tracks that 99.9999% of the time have nothing to report, but they pop onto the network and send an alert when there's a problem. This is enabling technology for that, or at least it's a step in that direction.
It's pretty interesting technology, and the applications are quite exciting if you ask me. But let's go ahead and find out more about it from people who know a bit more than we do.
Always a good idea. In this episode, we are speaking with Matt Hatton, who is a well-known industry analyst and co-founder of Transforma Insights, to find out more about RedCap and the outlook for uptake. And then later, we're speaking with Rafa Garcia of Keysight for even more perspective on the technology and challenges associated with testing RedCap devices.
That sounds great. Let's go ahead and get to it. We will be right back with Matt Hatton from Transforma Insights.
The moment you walk out to the launch pad, it's a unique experience unlike any other one.
It's a game changer for the militaries.
The biggest problem they have is, how do I test the application the same way the user is going to do it?
So much more of the capability is embedded in the software and in the touch panels. And that's really where Keysight and the Eggplant capabilities come in.
I'm Allison Friedman, and I'd love for you to join former NASA Chief Astronaut and Navy SEAL Chris Cassidy, Keysight Aero Defense experts, and me as we discuss testing software systems for space and missions at the edge. Join us March 21st at this exciting new webinar. Go to keysight.com/find/space to learn more.
Okay, we are back, and we'd like to welcome Matt Hatton, a founding partner at Transforma Insight. And Matt is a well-respected and closely watched industry analyst. Matt, thank you very much for joining us on All Things 5G.
My pleasure, Dylan, and thank you for that very kind introduction.
We've been talking a little bit about what RedCap is. For starters, from your perspective, how do you define it? How do you see RedCap?
Okay, so RedCap is, for anybody who's not familiar with it, it's a variant of 5G, which came out in the latest technical iteration of the 5G standard, what we refer to as 3GPP release 17. I don't know how technical I should be for your listeners, but let me maybe leave it as that being about as technical as we get. But there was an item in there for low complexity new radio devices. So the idea being with that, you create a set of technologies or support a set of devices with a kind of a slimmed down set of capabilities for 5G. And there's a number of reasons for wanting to do that, but probably the main one is actually two main ones. One is that 5G devices are expensive, and also that 5G devices are pretty power hungry. And so the idea was to come up with a variant of it which would have longer battery life, because that's what they're thinking about when thinking about reducing power consumption. And also that would be cheaper.
Sure.
So that's really the background on it. And that came out, and the name chosen there was 5G Reduced Capability New Radio. So Reduced Capability, RedCap.
So that's the view from like a 5G perspective. Is there a view from like the IoT perspective? Because there are kind of IoT, you know, technologies, connectivity technologies that are available as well.
Oh, completely there are. And the way we position RedCap is it's a first step along the way to try to develop a technology that will be appropriate for a lot of these IoT use cases, because IoT typically wants cheap devices, it wants long battery life and so on. And there are already a set of technologies out there that deliver that kind of functionality. The most obvious ones to talk about are the other technologies which already exist nominally within the 5G standard, or they weren't really developed as part of 5G. So there's a couple of technologies there. One is called narrowband IoT, or NB1. It's sometimes referred to for NB2 really now, but narrowband IoT. And then another one is LTE-M or LTE-CAT-M. And as you can probably tell, certainly from the latter name, that this was developed, or these two were developed, before 5G arrived. And they've been kind of dragged kicking and screaming into the 5G standard because people want to continue using their technologies over the lifespan of 5G. And so it's being included as part of 5G. So effectively within 5G, we already have a couple of technologies which are aimed explicitly at very cheap devices with long battery life, and accepting the trade-off between that and the data speeds that you can deliver. You know, these things are really only designed, those two technologies, NB-IoT and LTE-M, really only designed for maybe a few hundred kilobits a second type of connectivity, whereas 5G, of course, is up in the 100 megabits a second plus type of a category. So the idea was to find something that bridged the gap between those two. But at this stage, we've already got a couple of technologies which do very much tick a lot of the boxes of the kind of thing that the RedCap's aiming for.
Yeah, that's interesting. And that's something I guess I didn't fully understand, is that these other technologies which already exist and have been around for a few years are actually supported by 5G networks as well. They've, as you put it, been dragged kicking and screaming into the 5G standard.
That's right. Now, they're also supported on 4G networks.
Right.
So the aim with it is to make sure that there's a backward compatibility for these devices. And a big incentive for that is, okay, when you buy a smartphone, you buy the latest, greatest technology of smartphone, well, you might still only be using it 3 years down the line, right? And in fact, probably not even then. With the IoT deployments, you've got to expect that if you're using a technology, that technology is going to be around for 10, 15, 20 years. If you're doing smart meter deployments, for instance, which is a very popular use of the NB-IoT technology, then it's likely to be in there for 20 years. And you want that certainty that that technology is going to be around for the lifespan that you have for the device. And there's a bit of background. We're currently going through the process in quite a lot of countries. It's already happened, or we're just at the tail end of it in the US, but it's also happening in other markets, of switching off 2G and 3G networks. So the idea that maybe some point in the future people want to switch off the LTE, the 4G LTE networks, well, it will happen eventually. Do I see it happening anytime before the late 2040s? Probably not, but you never can tell with these things. So at some point, those technologies are going to go away. And having the set of technologies which are intended for use for a long period of time, continuing to be supported by the 5G standard is obviously a very useful thing.
Well, it's quite interesting in terms of knowing what each of those technologies are happening. And so based on that, what do you see? How is the adoption of RedCap going to evolve? How do you see that happening?
I think the first thing to note is, I mean, up until now, there has really been no adoption. This thing only came out.
It just came out, right?
9 months ago as a technology, something like that.
Yes, we have a very beginning.
Yeah, so we're still way, way too early for any adoption to happen. And I think we've characterized this iteration, this first attempt, as being heading in the right direction, shall we say. But I think it's going to take a few further iterations before it becomes comparable with those other two technologies as being really a significant part of the IoT landscape. First thing to think about is, okay, how much does it actually reduce the cost of these devices? Well, with those LTE-M and NB-IoT devices, and even LTE devices available at sub $10, well, RedCap is looking at price range of maybe around $50. Now, that's a significant improvement against 5G itself, which is maybe $150. Mm-hmm. So, great. That's worked well, but there's obviously room for improvement. Power consumption, well, people talk about about NB-IoT and LTE-M as, well, particularly NB-IoT, as being able to connect for, people say 10 years, more likely probably 3 to 5 years. And I think RedCap provides a significant improvement versus 5G, traditional 5G, but it's, you're nowhere near the multi-year connectivity. So in that respect, it's kind of falls between two stools in a way. It provides a much improved variant of 5G for addressing IoT devices, but it's still not able to support the levels of long battery life or low costs that we see with those other technologies. Now, this is the first time. Right, this is the first generation of RedCap, so we'd expect that to improve significantly over the course of subsequent iterations, and subsequent iterations are certainly coming. But it's at the moment, there's not an immediate huge sweet spot for that technology that fits between those two areas. Well, let me explain a little bit. So you've got, within IoT, one of the things that we do at Transform Insights, we look at all of the many hundreds of different use cases that IoT might be useful, from smart meters to connected cars to payment terminals and so on. And what you really have is there's two markets. One is about high bandwidth services. So things like, I mentioned, connected cars or video cameras or augmented reality, or a variety of things, digital signage, that kind of thing. And that needs very high bandwidth. And then you've got, and probably the vast majority of connections don't need to send an awful lot of data. You're talking a few kilobytes of data for remote sensing or smart metering or whatever. There's a lot of those. So the market's effectively a bifurcated one. It has low cost, small amounts of data, which are well served by those NB-IoT and LTE-M technologies. And you've got requirement for super high bandwidth and so on, which are well addressed by 5G, just standard, regular 5G. So we've got to look at, okay, what sits in the middle? What kind of use cases are the ones that are most obviously well addressed by by RedCap. And it's perhaps things like consumer electronics, where you want it to be cheaper, but it doesn't need to be super cheap. You want decent connectivity speeds, but it doesn't need to be as fast as a full fat 5G connection. Mm-hmm. So there are some opportunities we think associated with this first iteration, and it, smartwatches seems to be the one that everybody's latching on to as being potentially the most appropriate use case, and I can see a lot of mileage. But I really think it needs subsequent iterations, getting to the multi-year battery life, getting to much, much cheaper, probably a tenth of the cost that we see with the RedCap today, before it becomes a really, really meaningful thing. Now, do I think that will come? Yes, I do, because eventually we will see the support for the low cost, lower functionality as part of the 5G standard rather than these bolt-ons in the form of NB-IoT and TEM. So it will happen, I'm sure, but there's a bit of a roadmap.
I cheated a little bit and I read something that you had recently written. I think it was in IoT Business News. And one of the takeaways from that was you're thinking it'll be basically be 10 years or so before we start to see RedCap take some of the market share from some of these competing technologies in these really low cost areas.
Yes, I think that's exactly the, I said that, right? I'm unlikely to disagree with myself at this stage. But yeah, I definitely see that being the case. These technologies take a little while to bed in. It takes a little while to get to scale. It takes a little while to get the prices down. And we've still got probably a couple of iterations of the 3GPP standards to go before we get to something which is really meaningful. And those things take 18 months, 2 years to roll around. So that pushes it out to probably sometime 2030-ish would be my view on that. Although, like I said, there are certainly some use cases which will look at the functionality that's enabled by RedCap and say, yep, that's exactly what I'm looking for. But based on our experience of looking in a very granular way at all of the various use cases in the market and forecasting them and what technologies are going to be used in them, that's certainly not the majority of use cases. The majority will favor something that's either high bandwidth, low cost, and low data rate.
It always amazes me, you know, how early we work on these technologies versus when they're going to actually be in the hand of people and using them and so forth. All that design work starts now with the, or even before, with the development that's going around on chipsets and things like that. And all of these people are starting to focus on RedCap, and we'll see that developed over a number of years.
Yeah, I always think of it in terms of how soon will my mom actually be using this? That's kind of my yardstick.
That's your line of sight. Okay.
I doubt your mom will ever know. If she indeed ends up using something which has got RedCap in it, she will almost certainly never know.
That's true.
Because it won't be plastered all over the sides of the devices, I wouldn't have thought, and it probably isn't used as a selling point. It's just, it'll be potentially the technology that ends up being used. But you make a very good point. There is generally a lack of patience in the space. Okay, we've got this new technology. Who's going to be using it? Why are they not using it immediately? Why have we not already hit 100 million, a billion connected devices? Well, there's a lot of inertia and there's a lot of things that need to happen in order to get the adoption to happen. And IoT generally is a market that grows fairly steadily, not rocketing away type adoption. It doesn't work that way. One other thing I was going to stress was there is also a little bit of a risk here that people will look at this new technology popping up and think, oh, well, should I hang around and use that technology rather than using the things that are available today? So as an industry, we're also quite guilty of throwing out new technologies without waiting for the old ones to bed in, or maybe contributing to the confusion in the space of adopters thinking, I don't know what generation I should be relying on, which technology should I be using? And I think the important thing to stress is for most organizations thinking about deploying IoT using cellular, really, you should be looking at NB-IoT and LTE-M. Those technologies are here. They're available. The devices are very cheap. The networks will be available in perpetuity, but you know, at some point they'll turn off 5G networks, but effectively available in perpetuity.
But they might not bring you what you need, right? Depending on your use case.
It does very much depend on the use case, but the fact is those technologies are available today and are perfectly good. There is no reason to delay on doing an IoT deployment because you're hoping that maybe RedCap will be the thing for you.
And when you look at cellular IoT overall, including RedCap and these other technologies, I mean, how do you, I can only assume that we're talking about a market that is growing rapidly and will continue to grow rapidly as time goes by. Is that the way you see it?
Well, it's a question of defining rapidly, really.
Yeah.
So we see something like 15-20% growth rates in terms of cellular connections. We're probably at round about, and he's off looking for market forecast numbers as he's holding on the line. So we're probably at around about the billion mark, a little bit over a billion cellular based IoT connections as of today, probably maybe 1.5, something like that. By 2030, we see that as north of 5 billion. So it's growth is certainly very healthy. It's not a hockey stick, though. Steady growth, hundreds of different use cases, all adopting in their own good time and growing as in a fairly organic way. So decent growth, threefold growth, more than threefold growth over the course of the next 8 years, which I think is pretty solid stuff. And certainly the vast majority of the growth is in this NB-IoT, LTE-M, and eventually RedCap space with these low power, wide area connectivity technologies. So that gets to take about half the market by 2030.
Okay. Well, fantastic, Matt. Thank you once again for joining us. I really appreciate it. I know we've learned a lot.
Yes, absolutely.
Glad to contribute. My pleasure.
All right, before we go any further, let's take a quick time out to talk about a timely new wireless test platform from Keysight Technologies. Keysight's new E7515R UXM 5G wireless test platform is a streamlined network emulator designed exclusively for protocol, RF, and functional testing of all cellular IoT technologies, including RedCap. The E7515R expands Keysight's comprehensive 5G network emulation solutions portfolio, which of course is used in mobile device validation across the workflow from early design to acceptance and manufacturing. The E7515R is built on the same proven architecture as the market-leading E7515B UXM 5G, utilizing the same software solutions and protocol stacks. But the design is streamlined for lower-cost, power-efficient devices that use RedCap and other cellular IoT technologies. You can find more information about the E7515R and RedCap in general at www.keysight.com/find/redcap. And if you happen to be attending Mobile World Congress, stop by the Keysight booth to see a demo of the E7515R. The Keysight booth is located in Hall 5, number 5E12. Okay, and we are back. We'd like to now welcome Rafa Garcia, who leads Keysight's wireless portfolio, go-to-market, and scale team. Rafa, thank you for joining us once again on All Things 5G.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much, Dylan.
Jesse and I have talked a little bit about what RedCap is, and we spoke with analyst Matt Hatton to get his perspective. But coming from a test vendor, how do you define RedCap?
Okay, the way to define it in a simple way is that RedCap is a 5G technology designed for Internet of Things, but considering some constraints. Internet of Things that require low data rate, low power consumption, and low complexity. So this is specifically well suited for connecting devices that are, for example, weather stations, environmental sensors, wearables, security cameras, those type of devices that do not connect to the power grid normally.
Okay, so there's RedCap, but there's also cellular IoT technologies like LTE Cat M and BIoT and all that. So how does RedCap compare to these other cellular IoT connectivity technologies?
Yeah, that's a good question. All of these technologies are designed to support the Internet of Things, number one. And number two, they use cellular networks, right? They had other competitors, but using cellular networks bring a lot of advantages, right? But RedCap adds more capacity than its LTE peers, but it still keeps low cost and low power consumption. And when I say capacity, I mean higher bandwidth. That means higher data rates, lower latencies, and higher service availability. In addition, you have to consider that RedCap also provides more security features compared to other cellular IoT technologies. And finally, I could say that RedCap builds on flexible configurations provided already by 5GNR and doesn't require new channels. For example, the N channels required for technologies like NB-IoT.
All right, great. So let's talk about some specific use cases for RedCap. Where do you think that it will be most heavily utilized?
Well, it's well known, the typical triangle with the three corners for URLLC, MMTC, and AEMBB. So these were the three big goals defined for the 5G technology: the enhanced mobile broadband, the ultra-reliable low latency, and the massive machine-type communications. And those scenarios cover IoT connectivity with high bandwidth and low latency, like drones. But they do not necessarily cover connectivity for other IoT equipment with high constraints in terms of cost, battery life, size, or complexity. And this is where RedCap shines. With some specific use cases that were defined by the standards, and we can talk about that later, but the three main ones that it's thought about is smart industries and sensors, surveillance devices, and the wearables.
So if RedCap is basically a streamlined or simplified version of 5G, what are some of the modifications or simplifications introduced in 3GPP Release 17 that enable RedCap?
Yes, correct. RedCap is at the end a simplification of 5G technology. And 3GPP Release 17 included the specifications for 5G RedCap and also introduced several implementation strategies. And I give you a few examples. The use of reduced bandwidth of 20 megahertz, the support for devices with a single transmitter and receiver branch, support of one downlink layer and one uplink layer, the support of half FDD, and relaxed measurement requirements. There are more: reduced paging monitoring, long DRX sleep cycles. All of these strategies are, again, moving to the direction of having less complexity, less form factors, less cost.
Okay. Now, are there trade-offs or drawbacks associated with implementing some of these modifications?
Yes, sure. There are trade-offs and drawbacks associated with those modifications. And for instance, when cost reduction strategies are employed, reducing the number of transmitters and bandwidth, this may result in a trade-off of reduced coverage and maximum data rates. And similarly, reducing the complexity and power consumption may also have drawbacks. Think about opting for a single connectivity option instead of MIMO scenarios that we have in the 5GNR. Right? At the end, yep. MIMO is a strong option to increase the coverage because you are using several channels at the same time to transmit information. So if you use less of those physical channels, at the end, you will have less coverage. And also think about, related to that, you will not have support in fallback to other radio access technologies, because RedCap is using entirely the 5G core network and radio access network. So if you don't have the 2G handovers or 3G fallbacks, then that's again going into less coverage. And another thing that you have that brings to my mind, RedCap chooses much less power classes options than the 5G standard, and adapt the device to the different transmission conditions, because at the end of the day, this is what you need. Now I need to send more power. Now I can reduce the power. At the end is, again, you have to pay in coverage.
Interesting. Okay, say I'm a device maker and I'm designing and building and testing my RedCap device. What are some of the things that I should be aware of?
Yes. From a device maker standpoint, there are some key things I would like to point out here. So number one, the device is connecting to a network. So you have to make sure that your device is compatible with the 5G network. So you must test the device to ensure that you can effectively communicate with that network. I also mentioned before a lot of times the power. So you have to design devices to be power efficient, right? So you have to make sure that you are designing a device with a long battery life performance. And talking about performance, and I also mentioned that before, that RedCap is providing more bandwidth than the other options for Internet of Things, you have also to make sure that in your design, you are supporting the real-time application and services that you are expected to deliver. You also have small data transmissions. I mentioned that before. You have to transmit small amounts of data before going to connect the state. This is the idea beyond Internet of Things. They are connecting differently than, for example, mobile phones. In mobile phones, you have very few connections with a lot of data. Here, you are doing the opposite. You have a lot of connections with very little data to be transmitting. And this is a big change in the design framework of the traditional, let's call it, mobile devices. And I would like to finish with something which is, I think, very important to make sure the interoperability and the safety of everything that any manufacturer designs. You have to be compliant to all the standards and regulations that are in the market.
Okay, so I imagine that there are going to be a lot of device makers, IoT device makers, who want to utilize RedCap. Maybe they don't have any experience with 5G at all. Do you have any advice for those kind of device makers on how they should go about this?
Well, I'm happy that you are asking me that question. In my background, you know, I started as a test engineer in a test house a long time ago, right? And I have seen a lot of people with a lot of problems with in the early stages of testing. These manufacturers and even asking for advice. So you have to consider very important, you know, concepts here. You need to use the right test equipment to test your device, because the 5G networks and devices have some features that require very specific testing equipment to ensure that they're working properly. You also have to make sure that you have a correct test plan in place. You have to define a set of tests to make sure that you are capable to test effectively the different performance requirements that you are designing the device for. And when it comes to this partnership with testing service provider or choosing the right test equipment, I would like to highlight that Keysight has been leading the way in testing 5G technology since the beginning, since the early days of the 5G TF. And also the other, we had a lot of industry achievements in the 5G NR milestones. Now, Keysight is also offering the support for 5G Release 17 enhancements for this RedCap that we've been talking about through its network emulation solutions. More specifically, the E7515R, which is one of the variations of the well-known UXM 5G network emulator. That's basically, in summary, the things you need. Choose the right test equipment. Choose the right, you know, test house or test service provider or advisor that can recommend you to define a proper test plan to make sure that your design is according to the performance that you're expecting.
Okay. Well, terrific, Rafa. Again, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you.
A pleasure, Dylan and Jesse. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's a pleasure to share this type of very interesting information and news there, which that the industry is moving to.
Yeah, it's an exciting development, to say the least.
And we're back. So there, in a nutshell, is everything you wanted to know about RedCap.
Yeah, I think we got a pretty detailed pictures of where RedCap is and where it's going.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting what Matt Hatton said about the outlook for RedCap in the immediate future. And it seems like it's going to be several years before RedCap devices are really out there on a major scale.
It's always interesting to think about how far ahead the industry needs to be to enable these things to happen. There's a big focus on RedCap right now in the mobile ecosystem because device makers and operators need to be looking so far down the road.
That's well put, Jesse. And with that, I think we're going to wrap up this episode of All Things 5G. Remember to go to the All Things 5G webpage, www.keysight.com/find/allthings5G. And please subscribe to All Things 5G via iTunes, Spotify, whatever platform you use to get and listen to podcasts.
Stay tuned for the next episode of All Things 5G coming soon.
Until then, this is All Things 5G signing off.